Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. What can you do for a God that has everything? It's like buying a gift for somebody and they have everything. And you go, what can I buy them? The truth is, they don't have a need for such things as that. What they have a need is for you to thank them, praise them, in some ways worship them. God has everything. He has everything. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. But He still has one need. He needs you to worship Him, you to praise Him, you to magnify Him, so that everything that hath breath ought to be praising the Lord. Hallelujah. The flowers praise God. The trees praise God. Hallelujah. The earth praises God. And so much more should man who has a voice praise the living God. God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Brother Darren, good to see you. Man, are you still putting people to sleep? Yeah? So if you're having some sleep problems, I advise you to see this man. He can put you to sleep, and while they're asleep, take your tonsils out too. Whatever you need, they can do it. So if you're having insomnia, see Brother Williamson. Amen. Just picking at you. Good to see you tonight. Glad you're here with us. I have so much. I'm like Jesus said, I have a lot to say and so little time to say it in. And so I hope tonight, really, really, to change the way that you believe. You know, change the way you believe. Yes, I'm not saying you were taught wrong. I'm just saying you may be doing it wrong. And if I could open up your eyes to see the scriptures, how many of you want your eyes opened up more? Right. I want my eyes, my spirit to be open. A person that's not willing to change will never improve. But if you're willing to change, you can get better at anything, because you never get better unless you change. So tonight, I ask you to stand. We're going to go right to the word of the Lord. And so I can try to do this in a timely manner and yet get my point across to you that you'll never forget what I'm trying to teach you tonight. Mark 11 and 22, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. I want to kind of lay a foundation before I get into what I want to talk about, so stay with me tonight. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. We have faith in lots of other things so many times, but He simply says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, then He gives us this unique, high-powered example of faith, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, just think, if you will, in your mind, some big mountain, Mount Everest, put that in your mind with the snow on the top of it, be thou removed. Think about that, saying to Mount Everest, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where in his heart or in his spirit, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now in my mind, I see Mount Everest. That's gone. Hallelujah. That Mount Everest is under the water. And if you can't see that, you're not going to have it. See, if you can't see Mount Everest going underwater, it's not going to happen. But he said, if you can see it first, receive that in your spirit, it's going to come to pass. I want to talk. I'm going to read a few more scriptures in a minute, but I want to give you my title. We're going to pray. Live like you've got it, and you can have it. Live like you've got it, then you can have it. Lord, I come before you this Tuesday, rainy day that we've come gathered together. Those that wanted to hear the word of the Lord made their way. We ask you to bless those that were not able to. But tonight, open up our ears, our eyes, our understanding, our heart, everything about us. Let us be open to understanding the perfect will of God, that we can walk in it and fulfill it and prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I want to read some more scriptures for foundation tonight. Keep in mind my title, Live Like You Got It, you can have it. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, Paul said to this church, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. I will tell you, all of the wisdom of God is in a mystery, but it is to be revealed. That's why you have to seek, ask, and knock, because it's not plain. It has to be sought out. All the promises of God must be sought out. So Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What he's speaking of is that the book says that Jesus or Christ was hid in God before the foundation of the world. Christ, Jesus, the one that we worship tonight, was hid in God before Adam was ever born. He was already there, but it was hidden. He was not made manifest until much later time. Which none of the princes, the smart people, the educated people, the renowned people in power of this world knew. They didn't understand this hidden mystery. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't see it. In fact, when he died and the rocks broke and the clouds darkened the sun and the graves burst open, they said, surely he was the Son of God. Sure wished I'd have known that before we crucified. But, now watch this. But as it is written, okay, now get this picture here. He said they didn't know who he was. Because as it is written, now he's speaking of carnal eyes. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into a carnal heart of a man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The carnal eye, the carnal ear, and the carnal heart will never be revealed to them the things that God has in store for them that truly love him. See, they didn't love him. That's why they didn't see it. They didn't hear it. They didn't understand it. But God hath revealed it unto us by his, how? By his Spirit. He revealed it to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep or the hidden things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? What he's saying here is that a man knows the things that a man can know because he receives it first in his spirit, in a man's spirit. He receives it and he knows it because he first received it in his mind. To believe it. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So he's letting us know, comparing the two, a man in this world knows what he knows because he receives it in his spirit first. Then he says, I know that. I know what you're up to. You see, he receives it in his spirit, then he knows it. And he said, the things of God are the same way. You first have to receive it in your spirit before you can know it, because it is spiritually discerned. All right. So we know from this scripture above that faith, it does not enter through physical, heart, eyes, hearing, sight, any of those things. It is Spirit of God that reveals these things to us. And we know the scripture says in Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a real tough thing to say, hey, let me show you some faith. Let me show you some faith. And you're going to call up something. It's not going to work. James said, you know my faith by my works. In other words, give me some time and I'll show you I had faith when it comes to pass. Now, Romans 10 and 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, see, what was the gospel? It was the word of God. They didn't obey it, but they heard it. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who believed what they heard? They heard it, but they didn't believe it. So spiritually, they didn't hear it, right? So then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come by the word of God. It comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God. Because they heard it, but didn't understand it. So therefore, they had no faith in it. But if God, but through his word, opens up your hearing, then when you hear the word of God, it takes root and you believe it. All right, stay with me. But I say, have they not heard? Yeah, they heard. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words into the ends of the world. They heard it, but they heard it with spiritual ears. They saw it with physical eyes, and they didn't receive it in their carnal hearts because their ears were stopped up to the word of God. So 1 Corinthians, continuing on in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, if I said, hey, we're going to be giving away stuff here this weekend. Lord, we're going to give away trips. It's free. Y'all just come pick it up. There'll be thousands of people here to get what's free. But God has things that are freely given, and they're not a line in this church to get in. I want everything God will give me for free. I mean, people can get full at Sam's at lunchtime just getting what's free. And make a couple rounds and turn your collar, you know, your coat on different way and put a hat on. You just keep going around and around for free. I'm telling you, people go there at lunch because they're serving that stuff. And yet the things of God are freely given, and we don't even ask him for it. We don't even show up for it. You're getting a free sermon. You're getting a free psychology message tonight, and people that are going crazy are not here. Oh, the football game going on. Okay. Okay, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Wow. Not worldly things to worldly things, but spiritual things to spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't receive it, even though it's free. He can't receive it, for they are foolishness unto him. What do I want that for? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He can't understand why you're in church tonight when there is a game going on or whatever it is they go to. They can't understand that. Now, this is where I really want to start talking to you. That was foundation. That was preliminaries. I remember in growing up in our religion and our faith that people would come and repent. And I've seen my parents and others, old-timers there, and I'd watch, you know, as I was a child, and I'd watch, and they'd repent, and they would cry, and they would do everything. They'd get baptized, everything they know to do, and they still didn't get the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget what I remember hearing them say to those people that were seeking God with everything they thought they knew to do and still didn't have it. They would tell them, well, just live like you got it, and you'll get it. Just live like you got it, and you'll get it. You see, they were wanting to quit all that stuff to get God. But you'll get God, you'll quit all that stuff. But if you live like you got it, then you'll get it. That's what this passage of Scripture is teaching us. If you can receive it in your spirit, you'll get it. And if you can live like you got it, then you'll get it. So I want to open your understanding tonight so you can understand the magnitude of that simple statement. Because many times we've been taught that, well, the reason you didn't get your healing, the reason you didn't get this, because you didn't muster up enough faith. And you go, okay, let me muster up some more faith. Oh, God, and we're going to muster up the faith because we're waiting for one moment, and I'm not telling you God can't heal you miraculously in one moment, but our faith, we want it as like a contact of a spark plug. And we want it to be just like that. And if it doesn't happen, well, we're disappointed because I'm doing everything I know to do. How about let's walk in it instead of just waiting for faith is not a point. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's not this point of contact and all of a sudden, now I got it. No, it's a journey that you take. The just shall walk by faith and not by sight. I just got to go here. Y'all got time? Okay, I want to show you this. It's raining anyway. In John chapter 11 and verse 20. Yeah, right here. I want to show you something about faith. Lazarus is dead, and they're all accusing Jesus of not being there in time, or my brother wouldn't have died. Now, what you're going to see first, you remember Mary sat at Jesus' feet? You remember that? And Martha was busy, cumbered around. And he said, Martha, you got so many things troubling you. Mary hath chosen that better part. Well, she's not at the feet of Jesus now. Guess who's there? Martha. See, and many of the Jews, 19th verse, many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, this is the same one that was too busy before, heard he was coming, went and met him. But Mary heard the same message, but sat still in the house. She might have been a little mad. I don't know what her problem was. Then said Martha, and here's my point, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I mean, that's faith, right? To believe that if he'd have been here, you know, our faith's like that too. I don't know of anybody praying for dead people. I've never seen anybody at a funeral nobody's at the graveyard. See, as soon as life goes, we quit praying. We do. We give up. But she said, I know he's dead. Now watch, verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Now my faith's pretty weak, but if you'll ask him, he'll do it for you. But I don't know about me, but he'll do it for you. I know that even now how long has he been dead? 4 days. Even now, as stinking as he is, and as old as he's been dead, long as he's been dead, even now, God, I believe. And then, of course, he said, your brother will rise again. She said, oh, yeah, I know in the resurrection. She tried to fix it up, make it look like, you know, well, I understand that. But well, let's watch down here. This same lady in verse 39. Now, she said, even now I know that you can raise him from the dead. Jesus said unto them, take ye away the stone, okay, that they had put there. He's at the grave. The dead man's in there. And this lady who said, even now watch what she says. Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. What happened? Right at the point of getting the miracle, she backed up. You see, right at the point, it's like going in there and praying for somebody who's on oxygen support after you've put them to sleep there, and they're still on oxygen support and all that, and you're praying. Boy, they've got a death sentence over them, and you're praying for them. You're anointing them with oil, and they say, Brother Paget, I believe that even now that God could raise me up. Brother, you believe that? I believe even now. I say, okay, disconnect that over there and cut that off. We don't need that oxygen right there. Oh, wait a minute. You see how faith is? It's tricky. It's real tricky. As long as Jesus was praying, he said, Lord, even now. But as soon as he said, take the stone away, and it fell back on you to believe, all of a sudden, no. You see? Am I opening up your eyes here a little bit? Okay. All right. So faith is a journey. It's a walk with God and not a moment with God. And so many times we're disappointed in life because we're told that God will give you the desires of your heart. You ever heard that? God's going to give you the desires of your heart. But they didn't explain to you or know how to explain to you how you get the desires of your heart. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Jesus told his disciples to have faith in God because only with God all things are possible. And so Jesus gives them this mountain example of faith. And he said, but if you believe in those things you say, then they shall come to pass whatsoever you sayeth. If you already can see it and receive it, then you can have it. So that what you say and what you desire, you can have. He said, when you pray, believe that ye receive them. See, this is what we've missed all these years. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. And ye shall have them. In prayer, you first must believe that you have received them. I can see myself preaching. Hallelujah. Out to the rabbits and the squirrels. I can see myself. And when you can receive it and believe it, then you can have it. But if you can't see yourself doing it, you can't have it. If you can't see Mount Everest going like this, it's always going to be like this. If you can't see your troubles going away, they're always going to be greater than you. So you receive it first in prayer before you ever see it in the public. And that's why Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet, and your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. So the battle is won when you receive it before you see it. Am I teaching you anything? Because that's really faith. But I've already received it. You see? Then I can have it. So if you live like you got it, you can get it. And just desiring it doesn't make it happen. Well, he'll give me the desires of my heart. That's not, you got to receive it in your heart. Then you can have it openly. Amen. Desire and passion are really things that are disturbing. They're very painful when you have a desire or a passion for something and it's never fulfilled. It becomes very painful to desire something and it's never fulfilled. But if you can fulfill it in your heart first, then it can be